From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, March 24th. Coming up, the weight of caring for COVID patients is shared by family members of frontline healthcare workers. We'll learn more from Side Effects Public Media's Fadar Yousri in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Farmers around the world are encouraged to plant more wheat this year to offset expected losses from Russia and Ukraine. But as Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, that'll be tricky for Midwestern farmers.
70% of the wheat grown in the U.S. is winter wheat, meaning it's already in the ground and growing. That, mixed with record-high fertilizer prices, makes it unlikely that U.S. farmers will grow more wheat. Some experts say the U.S. government should provide support to farmers. Jennifer Hillman is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations.
There's going to need to be some effort to provide some financial support to give some assurances that they're not going to be caught again in these very wild price swings in basic crops.
Hillman says in addition to a volatile market, farmers are unsure how long the conflict will last, making it risky to change their plans. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
The Illinois House last night approved a measure to send $2.7 billion to the state's unemployment trust fund from COVID relief money. It now goes back to the Senate, which must approve it today to meet a federal deadline. Republican State Representative Mark Batnick of Plainfield voted no. He thinks they should spend $4.5 billion to eliminate the debt entirely.
For a year, we've warned about this. Our plan, plug it, $4.5 billion, we have the money. Your plan, we're being told, is we have to pass this by midnight. Gosh, golly. Oh, and by the way, we don't fix all the problem. We fix a little bit more than half the problem with $2.7 billion.
Democrats say business and labor leaders, plus lawmakers from both parties and both chambers, agreed to that amount. It also sends more than $1 billion from the state's general revenue fund toward underfunded state worker pensions, longstanding health insurance debt, and the College Illinois prepaid tuition program. New court filings allege threats of retaliation, cocaine use, and more extravagant spending by Redditus Labs CEO Aaron Rossi. Eric Stock reports.
Attorneys for Redditus minority owner James Davey filed the claims in Tazewell County Court in its lawsuit against Redditus and Rossi. The suit accuses Rossi of squeezing out Davey from Redditus operations and lavishly spending on himself and family with the Redditus funds. Davey's attorney, Scott Lucas, says witnesses are coming out of the woodwork to disclose even more outrageous thefts and misconduct by Rossi. Attorneys for Davey and for a plaintiff in another case have asked for a judge to place Redditus into a receivership that would prevent Rossi from having any control over the company. I'm Eric Stock.
The Pekin-based company has made well over $200 million in coronavirus testing. A judge has scheduled a hearing on the request for early May. At a classical music performance Tuesday at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts at the University of Illinois, the Fauré Quartet's version of The Great Halls of Kyiv drew a noticeable reaction from the crowd. One by one, audience members in the Follinger Great Hall stood to silently demonstrate their support for Ukraine. Behind the effort was Krannert Center sponsor and regular visitor Alan Tuckman. Tuckman says he wanted to find a way for the audience to show unity with the Ukrainian people.
I think everybody is obligated to do something. And we know that the community here is a very loving community and supportive.
Tuckman says he told a handful of audience members beforehand about his plan to stand, and everyone else followed. He says he also had asked the permission of the performance directors. Later in the show, the quartet spoke to the audience about the invasion of Ukraine. Music, they said, can unite all people. Still to come, a look at the effects of the pandemic on the families of frontline healthcare workers. We'll get that story from Side Effects Public Media's Fadar Yousri coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Throughout the pandemic, frontline healthcare workers have dealt with a lot. For many of them, the weight of caring for COVID patients is shared by their loved ones. Side Effects Public Media's Fadar Yousri checked in with families of frontline doctors 2 years into the pandemic. she brings us this story of a young couple in Indianapolis.
Forrest Overhelman had big plans for 2020. He was going to graduate med school, start his residency. He's 29 and had just married his college sweetheart. They wanted to host parties, travel overseas to Ireland. Then the pandemic hit. He started his training in pain medicine and rehab at Indiana University. Just 2 months in, he was deployed to a COVID unit.
Being a new physician and having to call family members and tell them that you have a day to get to the hospital. I think that your mother is being upgraded to the ICU. She may not make it till tomorrow. And to never receive formal training in how to deliver that news or to cope with that was certainly difficult.
Forrest says he wouldn't wish that upon anybody. Stress levels were sky high. But that wasn't even the scariest part. Here's Forrest's wife, Nicole.
So January 2020, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I started going through treatment for that. And so I was like mid-treatment when March came around. And, you know, and so when we found out he was going to be working with a lot of COVID patients, there were definitely some worries that we had.
Cancer treatment weakened her immune system. It was nerve-wracking for her to know that her husband was in the hospital every day, face-to-face with a deadly virus everyone knew so little about. They weren't sure what was the best way to stay safe. With so many unknowns at the time, they were winging it like everyone else. They still lived together, but every day after work, before any interaction, Forrest would toss his clothes in the laundry and hop in the shower.
You know, by the time he was like all clean and everything like that, like that's when we could begin like our home routine of being like, hello, we live together, we're married now, let's spend time together. But it's just one of those things that became part of our routine.
With Forrest seeing so many COVID patients, they really locked down and kept their distance from loved ones, especially older family members. And that meant Nicole went through most of her cancer treatment all alone. Her mom would drop off pots of yummy Filipino food, and she got to FaceTime her besties. But nothing beats in-person social support.
You know, when someone is really sick, it's usually like, oh, I'm going to come visit you. Oh, I'm going to bring you dinner. Oh, I'm going to, you know, do XYZ things in person to support you.
Nicole worked remotely as a school psychologist. She envied those whose partners could also work from home.
You know, being a doctor wife, that's not really that's not really something that can be a reality, sadly. So I do feel a little bit envious at times that, you know, they get to see their spouses a lot more often and kind of split a lot of the responsibilities.
Nicole's cancer went into remission, which was great news, and not long after, they found out they're pregnant. They got vaccinated and were grateful to grow their social bubble to include extended family. Nicole gave birth to their baby Alina last summer. They also closed on a new cozy home, just big enough for their growing family.
So this is our very messy living room. We spend most of our time here, I would say, spending time with our daughter, and we'll watch movies and things like that while she's sleeping.
It's also where Forrest and Nicole sit and chat after stressful workdays. Forrest says healthcare workers get all the thanks. Their partners and family members aren't recognized nearly enough.
It's very stressful to be in the hospital for 60 to 80 hours a week as an intern resident. And just having the support of my wife at home. You know, I think it's probably the most important thing that got me through all this. So I'm very fortunate.
At this point, what he looks forward to the most is
being able to mark my schedule out and say, this is when I'm going to be able to take her to school and be able to go out to dinner with Nikki.
And maybe finally take that trip to Ireland. Farah Yusri, Side Effects Public Media.
Side Effects Public Media is a Midwest reporting collaboration focused on public health. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see cloudy skies with occasional showers today and a high of 44 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Dana Cronin, Alex Degman, Eric Stock, Noor Longi, and Farah Yusri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.